Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
O faithful God. O faithful God. You lift me up. You uphold my cup. You gave me life. You guide my life. You're always there. You're a faithful God. Oh, faithful God. Oh, faithful God. You lift me up and you uphold my cup. You give me life. You gave me life. You guide my life. Say you guide my life. And you're always there. You're always there. You're a faithful God. Faithful God. Say faithful God. You are faithful God. You pick me up and you uphold my cup. You gave me life. You guide my life. You're always there. You're a faithful God. One more time. Faithful God, say, faithful God. Yes, you are, say, faithful God. You lift me up and you uphold my cup. You gave me life. You guide my life. You're always there. You're a faithful God. You gave me life. You gave me life. Guide my life. You guide my life. And you are. You're always there. You're a faithful God. You gave me life. You gave me life. You guide my life. You're always there. You're a faithful God.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for being such a faithful God. Thank you for this first school of miracles for 2023. You've been faithful to us, seeing us through the last year and bringing us to this new one. Thank you, because indeed, as this meeting is tagged the school of miracles, we enjoyed your miracles in 2022. You healed, you saved, you delivered, you provided, you did all kinds of miracles. For which we are glad, for which we are grateful. But much more than that, we appreciate you for who you are. Because you are a faithful God who does not change. So whatever you've done before, we know you will do again and even more in this new year in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because this moment you'll help me. You'll help me to speak your mind. You'll help me to minister of a power that you supply. And you'll help all of us to hear and to receive that which you'll have us receive from you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because indeed, as the words, your words go forth, thank you, because they are full of living power. They cause a healing. that cause a cure, that cause deliverance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, whether here on site or online. Thank you because the miracles are unlimited. You are the awesome God who does wonders without numbers. We exalt you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy New Year once again. Hallelujah. Well, I would want to assume that those who are here are interested in health to start with. Am I right? You're interested in help in health. I'll assume that some of those who are online are also interested in their health because the School of Miracles for sure deals with that. Kenneth Egan used to say that you need to feed constantly along the lines of healing and health and miracles. He said, because someday you are going to need it, whether for yourself or for a loved one. Someday you are going to need it. And if you are only trying to get the faith for it when you need it, then you might just be too late. Are you there? So there are certain things that we feed on consistently. And one of those things, and that's why we have a School of Miracles, apart from teaching people how to flow with the Holy Ghost and all of that, we also teach along the lines of health, healing, and miracles. Hallelujah. In order to build our faith for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I have a few texts this evening. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. I read a few places in the scriptures. But I want to say that one of the things I'm speaking along the lines of determined to live in health, to live in health. And that is that you have to make up your mind about it. You think that, why would I say that? Everybody wants to. Not quite, really. Not everybody wants to. You know, because everybody says, for instance, or many people will say, I wish I could drive. But they don't do anything about it. People will say, I wish I could play the drums. But they don't do anything about it. I wish I could play the keyboard. But they don't do anything about it. I think it was Mike Murdock that said that the sign of desire is pursuit. You know, so if you really desire it, it's the effort, the pursuit of it that tells us that you truly desire it. Otherwise, you are just wishing. And like they said, if wishes were horses, then even beggars would ride. I think that's an outdated saying. You know, so it's more like if wishes were horses, even beggars would drive. Okay, so that is more fitting into today's day and age. So if everything you just wish would happen, then everybody will get everything. But people say, I wish I'll be in health. But what are you going to do about it? You know, I wish my health was better. What are you going to do about it? So that's what we're looking about. And that's why I titled it, Determined to Live in Health. Meaning, do something. Amen. Make up your mind. What are the things I'm going to do in order to ensure that my health is great this year? Proverbs 18:9, I'm going to read the Amplified Classic Version. And it says, he who is loose and slack in his walk is brother to him who is a destroyer, and he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. So that's my emphasis. Part B is my emphasis. He who does not use his endeavors to heal himself, his brother to him who commits suicide. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Go to 3 John. 3 John and verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Can I hear you say, be in health? Say it out loud like you believe it. Be in health. Just as your soul prospers. So I said, growing up, I grew up an asthmatic patient. So I had asthma attacks frequently, ended up in the hospital frequently. In my mind and my memory, it will probably be at least every 2 months I was in the hospital, whether on admission or not. No, I think I rarely was on admission. Because after a while, you're a veteran, you know, it's like you learn to live with it. So you are struggling to breathe, but you live with it, you understand? So every 2 months, I would think in my mind, I would be in a hospital, I would be, you know, treated for an asthmatic attack, severe asthmatic attack, as it were. But I was listening in 1990, I was listening to Dr. Frederick Casey Price on TV. They used to show him on Sunday evenings, if I remember correctly, at 6 p.m., to 7 p.m. on, I think it was OGTV, or was it OGTV or BCOS? They used to show Dr. Frederick Casey Price, the late Casey Price in those days. And the sound will come on when it starts. They say, evidence, evidence. You know, because it was, ever-increasing faith ministries. You know, and the song, evidence. Evidence, you know, God's word, evidence. And that's how the sound was out when it begins. And if you know Dr. Frederick Casey Price, Casey Price can take one verse of a scripture and teach for 50 weeks. You know, he does a series for 50 weeks. I mean, he can do a whole year on one verse of a scripture and just teach and teach and teach and teach slowly, as it were. In fact, Kennedy Hagin said of him, he said at some point he had a vision of Jesus and God said, begin to, you know, teach people the operations of the spirit, the manifestations of the spirit. He said, now begin to lay emphasis on that. He said, because there is a flow of the Holy Ghost that will be lost to this generation, except they are taught by precept and by example. He said, you've been teaching faith all this while. He said, but I have many people who can teach faith just as you can or even better. He said, and he mentioned Dr. Frederick Casey Price. And Hagin will say, if Casey Price teaches you faith and you don't get it, forget it. You can never get it. Then you can't understand it. You know. So that was Casey Price. And I remember this day, I'd gone out. I came back in. Usually I would like to catch that broadcast and watch. I came back in just a few minutes to the end. And apparently what they were showing was on divine healing. And he had been teaching on divine healing and all of that. And I caught him towards the end. And at the end, he referred to 3 John and verse 2. And he says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Again, can I hear you say, be in health? And he said, but yes, I've been teaching you about divine healing. He said, but that is not God's best. He said, God's best is that you are in health. Healing is you being sick, but recovering. He said, but God's best is that you stay healthy. And that struck me. When he said that, it hit me like somebody punched me in the chest. And I said, yes, I'm free. And from that time, I really just greatly improved. Less frequent, lesser and lesser and lesser. How do you say it? However, it became less and less and less attacks of asthma from then on. But my point is this, is that God's intention is that we be in health. It's great to have miracles. It's great to be sick and get healed. And in fact, we should believe God for that. And nobody should feel bad about that. Anytime anything, any symptom arises inside of you, you need to stand against it and get your healing. As a matter of fact, even when COVID-19 came up, one of the things I like to tell people, and I told the secular world, journalists, I told them, I said, we are part of the problem of COVID. And many of them wondered, what do you mean by we're part of the problem? I said, because you are feeding people with fear. You are feeding people with fear. So everybody's watching numbers every day, several times a day. They are seeing numbers. So thousands of people are sick. Thousands of people are dead. And you throw that number. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. I said, so it's stuck in our faces. It's put in our ears several times every single day. And then sometimes he will zone down and tell us the very sympathetic or sentimental story of one person who died. Oh, he was this. Oh, he had family. Oh, he blah. I said, and then the thing crippled him, and he got him, and he caught him, and he couldn't breathe, and then he died.
I said, so we have never been filled with faith for a disease like we were filled with faith for COVID-19. So every time people caught it and they spoke to me and they said, oh, I have COVID-19. I said to them, first and foremost, perish from your mind the thought that you will die. That is first step. Second step is know that COVID-19 is just another disease, just like malaria is a disease. So if in your mindset you believe that God could heal malaria, God can heal a headache, God can heal a broken bone, then the same way, it is all disease. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you must believe that the God who can do one can do the other one. That's the way to view it. And if you can first push the fear of it aside and realize that I still deal with the same God, with the same capabilities, then you're already halfway to your recovery. Hallelujah. So what do these three scriptures have in common that I've just read? I read Proverbs 18, verse 9. He says, he that does not use Amplified Classic Version, he that does not use all his endeavors to heal himself, is brother to him who commits suicide. We read 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And we've read 3 John and verse 2. And it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. What do they have in common? Is that by all means, recognize that that body of yours is a responsibility that you have. Or let me rephrase it and say you have a responsibility to take care of your body and keep it in health because it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Use all your endeavors to keep it in health, knowing that it is God's desire that you be in health. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So use everything. Everything you can to keep that body in health so that he does not even get sick in the first place. Hallelujah. So what are four things that I want to say to you tonight? Number one, pay attention to spirituals. Are you there? Pay attention to spirituals. So if you're going to be in health, pay attention to what? Spirituals. Proverbs 13. So don't take spiritual things for granted. Don't treat them lightly. Don't take it that well. It's just one of the things that you do if you really want to keep it in health. And God expects you to keep your body in health. You know. Now that we've started again reading the Bible all over again, I was looking at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And in Genesis, you know, how many people have read that scripture that says that if the days of a man be 70 years, then it's great. And then everybody starts quoting that and saying that 70 years is what God has promised, isn't it? In fact, in my own mind, I keep thinking to myself that that interpretation was probably coming from Nigerians because we like to kill cow. You know, when somebody dies, we like to chop cow. So we say, 70 years, you know, if somebody reads 70 years, then it's, he has tried. He has read the biblical 70 years. So we kill a cow. And then when he doesn't, like when my dad didn't reach it, they say, and they were talking about cow. I said, I thought it was 70 years that they do all of those things. They said, but he has grandchildren. I said, come, you have 15. This goalpost, you know, you're shifting it because we must eat cow. But I dare tell you that the Bible did not promise us 70 years, actually. Okay? God did not promise 70 years. If you are looking at the promise or what God stated as the lifespan of a man on the average, is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, and it's 120 years. He says his days shall be 120 years. That's what God said. The other one was an observation where the man said, if a man does 70 years, he don't try. It was just an observation. But in Genesis 6 and 3, that was God's proclamation that his days shall be. So I was thinking to myself, if his days shall be 120 years, they had better be in health. Are you with me? Because one of the reasons why you would not want your days to be 120 years is if you are not in health. And if his days shall be 120 years, it means that God has a plan. And God has the capacity to keep you in good health up to 120 years at least. Are you with me? Up until Genesis chapter 6, they were living for hundreds of years. You understand what I'm saying? They were doing 600, 700. In fact, they will tell you that this person had his child at 65. He had a child at 70. He had it at 90. And then after he lived for another 500 and something years, that's how they were living. And in Genesis chapter 6, God was angry with them. And he says, look, I will not strive with man forever. His days shall be 120 years. Why am I saying all of that? Just to say that if that is what God said, it means that the 120 years are supposed to be lived well. Hallelujah. And if you must believe God for anything, don't believe the 70. I'm not saying you necessarily will believe for the 120, but I'm saying don't accept that the 70 is what God said, because it's not. In fact, in Psalm 91, he said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I always like to say that satisfaction is personal. Are you there? You can't judge the size of my amala by the size of yours. I can keep coming back, isn't it? You keep coming back until what? You are satisfied. As long as the food is there, isn't it? You go back again and say, can I have more? And then someone says, can you have more? Why would you need more? I'm not satisfied. Hallelujah. So we ought to get the long life to our own satisfaction. Can I have an amen? Okay, so back to then, therefore, what do I do? Because we're talking about determined to be in health. Number one, I said what? Pay attention to spirituals. Proverbs 13, verse 13. It says, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. There's a reward for paying attention to God's word. There's a reward for living your life by God's word. There's a reward for being there and studying all of the time and praying and all of that. There's a reward. There's something that happens when godliness, or when godly God's harm comes upon the human physical body. Are you still with me? In Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs the fourth chapter, verse 20. It said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. This is my emphasis, verse 22. He said, why should you do all of those things? Why should you be studying the Bible? Why are you reading it all of the time? He said, for they are what? Life to those who find them, and what? Health to their flesh. To all their flesh. So, every time I'm reading it, it's doing something to me. Physically, to my physical body. Pay attention to spirituals. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Give attention to spiritual things. Spiritual exercises. Spiritual engagements. And especially the word of God, because it does something to your physical body. In fact, the word there in verse 22, when it says they are health to all their flesh, that word they translated in Hebrew to health is the word medicine. Can I hear you say medicine? He said, for they are life to those who find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Depending on how old you are, you may have heard about Sunday medicine. Depending on how old you are. So there was a time there was something they call Sunday medicine. So people used to take medicine regularly. Regularly. So they call it Sunday. Regularly, regularly. And why were they taking the medicine? To prevent the people from catching malaria. So they were being given a drug regularly. In medicine, you call it prophylaxis. You are giving it or preventive so that the person cannot get the disease. So what he's saying here is God's word is prophylaxis. God's word is Sunday medicine. God's word is actually Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, medicine, Sunday. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's word, as you take it in, it prevents disease from taking hold. Are you with me? I said, are you there? So this year, be determined to be in health and therefore be very serious about spiritual things. Are you with me? You know, one of the things I've enjoyed hearing from people over the years is that when people get saved and they get serious with God, they go to church regularly, they are studying the Bible regularly, they are praying regularly, I've often heard them talk about how their health improved. Are you hearing me? So I've often heard people who say, oh, you know, every July I used to be very sick when the rain start. But now the past 2 years, nothing happened to me. I was fine. Why? Because they were taking God's word as medicine. It was doing something to them. It was doing something to them. It was doing something to them, even when they did not know. Years ago, I was asking, we asked for testimonies like this. And that particular day, I was inspired to ask and say, look, is there anybody who's had something happen to them that they've never spoken about before, but something just changed? In fact, it took them a while before they realized the thing happened, because it wasn't a case of somebody laying hands on them. It wasn't a case of somebody giving a word of knowledge about it, but something just happened to them, and it took them a while to realize that, hey, something has happened to me. Something has changed in my health. And I remember very vividly a gentleman raising his hands. And he said he used to eat a lot. Every time he had a bath, he said it was just a serious trial, that having a bath was a serious problem for him because he would eat for a long time after having the bath. He said, but he just realized after a while that he wasn't having any issues anymore. This was something he had had for years. He said, now all of a sudden, being in church, he just realized that, it looks like, come on, when last did I itch? Because now he started taking his bath. He wasn't itching, but he didn't realize something happened. What happened to him? The word. Can I hear you say the word? That's why I said in Psalm 103 and verse 20, he said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So the word alone is more than enough. Hallelujah. Number one, pay attention to spirituals. Remember what we're talking about, a man who does not use all of his endeavors. Okay? Number two, pay attention to exercise. Exercise. Can I hear you say exercise? You know, we talk about in medicine, in public health especially, we talk about the changing pattern of disease, how diseases seem to be changing. What used to be uncommon is becoming commoner, okay? And one of the things we also begin to talk about now is what we call the social determinants of health. That is lifestyle, basically. That something about our lifestyle is beginning to also change our health. Are you there? And one of the things that is now strongly recommended is that people need to exercise regularly. Up to 30 minutes, up to 3 times a week. Now, one of the reasons why you now have to say that is because that's not how we were living before. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, before, if not your grandfather, your great-grandfather would go to the farm. And you know what they call farm? It's kilometers and kilometers away. It's not in the neighborhood. They go. Once they go early in the morning, they go in there. That's where they spend the day, sometimes 2 days. They are going to stay there. They will walk, planting, harvesting, doing all kinds. Then they will take a break. They will take yam from there. They will roast the yam, eat the yam there, fresh, nice. And then they're going to walk back. Are you with me? Now you want to go down to the supermarket down the road. You get out, you jump on Okada, or you jump in a taxi, or you drive a car. This is just barely 1 kilometer down the road. Then you say, what? Because I want to be back on time. Are we? That's why you don't want to walk. I need to get back on time. It will save me time. It will save me time. So you just go and come back. But when you look at it, you then discover that we are actually not moving our bodies at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 1 Timothy chapter 4. He that does not do what? Use all of his endeavors to heal his body is brother to him who commits suicide. Listen, many people now, believers and non-believers, are committing suicide. Now also with, what do you call it? With the new normal, work from home. So I tell people, and I've had the privilege to speak to, you know, even corporations. And I tell them one of the big problems with what that new methodology, one of the problems it will throw up is that your staff will begin to come up with health challenges that they otherwise would not have had. Because of what we call sedentary lifestyle, meaning just sit down there, sit down, look. You understand? Some people turn, they get up from their bed, they just swing the leg down like this, take one step and sit down by the table. Some don't even sit by the table, they just grab the laptop and stay on the bed. And they continue to walk. And I've had to tell some of the corporations, you will have to do something about it. Otherwise, you are going to lose the staff, or you are going to spend a lot of money trying to get them healthy. Are you with me? That's why God said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have looked at the other side of it. Yes, because he was speaking comparatively, meaning he was comparing two things. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he said, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come. So we spoke about godliness. That's paying attention to spirituals. He says it has a promise of a life that now is and the one that is to come. Okay? But the first phrase it makes here is not bad. He said, bodily exercise profits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's say it together. Say, bodily exercise profits. Even if you want to put a little, why throw away the little? Are you getting what I'm saying? Why do you want to throw away the little? Why can't you have the little and pocket it as well? Are you hearing me? Listen, you'll have to determine to exercise. Determine to exercise. I'm not saying you have to start running marathons around your neighborhood and everywhere in Lagos. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to exercise your body. Get it moving. Get the joints moving. Just move and move and move and move. It's required to be in health. Actually, when they recommend the 30 minutes of exercise, it's actually not necessarily heavy exercise. Just walking. Walking, 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 brisk walking for 30 minutes is sufficient and counts. Are you with me? Somebody said, I thought we were in church. Yeah, I'm reading the Bible. And except we take care of our bodies, we will go to heaven too quickly. Are you hearing me? Somebody said, heaven is so sweet, people are dying to go there. Huh? Another one says, heaven is so sweet, but nobody wants to go now. Huh? But you have to use your own endeavors to heal yourself. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You know, I mean, one of the testimonies that blessed me, Lord, was Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland is 85 years old. And he said, God told him, what I was referring to, God said, I have anointings for people at 90, for people at 100, for people at 110, at 120, he said, but nobody ever believed me for it. And therefore, nobody lived that long, you know, functioning in their callings and all of that for that long. He said, but will you do that for me? He said, and he told God, yes, I will do it. Now he's 85, you know, and so he says he's going at 120. In fact, there's Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson is in his 90s. He said, Pat Robertson also told him since. He said, no, I'm going at 120. He said, and Copeland, you'll preach my funeral. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But at 85, I've watched Kenneth Copeland doing press-ups. But then he had health challenges. He had heart issues at some point. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he said, no, God. They told him they needed to implant some. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have the surgery. And God said, do it. Let them implant it. He said, because you are behind the power curve. Meaning your faith is not there. That let them implant it and then get to work. And one of the things he said God told him when all of that happened was that God told him, God said, I warned you years ago to begin to exercise. And you didn't do it. He said, that's part of why you are in the situation you are in now. He said, so first let them do what they need to do. All your endeavors to heal yourself. Okay? Otherwise, you just die. He said, so let them do what they need to do and then get to work. Build your faith. Begin to exercise. And so he said he began to do it. As God had instructed him years ago. God had told him years ago, just be taking the walks. He said he didn't do it. So now he said he got on the treadmill and started running and running and running on the treadmill. You know, he's a pilot. He's a certified pilot. He said he would run and run and run and run with the pacemaker in his heart, on his chest. He said until after a while, he went for his medicals, for his license and all that, and they did everything, and they were like, wow, you really don't need a pacemaker. He said, but every time he got on the treadmill, he'll be quoting the scriptures and speaking to his body. And, you know, so he got to walk. Hallelujah. Be determined to be in health. Are you with me? Let me share another one. That was Jerry Savelle. Said he went in for a check. They checked him up. They said you have a small blockage in your arteries, and we're just going to we'll operate minor surgery. Shortly, you'll be on your way back home and all that. You won't even sleep here. He said, and then they did the procedure on him. And when they did it, he went into a full-blown stroke. So he had a stroke. So everything they said, oh, it's quick, minor surgery, blah, blah, blah. It became something major. You know, so he said he couldn't say anything. He could only say yes to anything. He didn't recognize people. And also, Copeland came to pray for him, Jesse Duplantis and all that. He said he was there for quite a while. He said, but the doctors told him that the only thing he could do was he could speak in tongues. Spirituals. He said, so he was speaking in tongues. But he couldn't speak any word other than yes. And he didn't recognize people. He said eventually they took him home. He couldn't lift his hand. One arm, one leg. He couldn't quite lift it. But he had his, you'll call it a museum, because he used to be a mechanic. So he had his museum of motorbikes and things. He said, so he told his granddaughter he wanted to, you just point that he wants to go in there. So they took him in there one day. And he said he was just praying in tongues. And then he started starting all the motorbikes. And by the time, and which have, some of them are very old things, they are very difficult to start. He said, but he was doing it, speaking in tongues. He said by the time he was done, he switched it all off and he was going to go out. The girl handed him something and he used the arm that he couldn't lift to collect it. And the girl said, Grandpa, did you notice what you just did? He said, and from that time on, everything disappeared. The doctors had told him, you'll never preach again. You'll never do anything again. He's been all the way preaching all over again. Spirituals. So the two things I've said to you. Pay attention to spirituals. Are you hearing what I'm saying? An exercise. Number three is your diet. Pay attention to your diet. You know, I think that ultimately, this year, you need to start figuring out what your habits will be. Okay? I know that we're still in Christmas period. Okay? But let your ijekuje end with in January. Can I have an amen? Let it end in January. So the bigger thing and what determines what happens to any human being are your habits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? is figure out your habits. What are the best things that I need to be eating? What will be my exercise lifestyle? What's going to be my spiritual lifestyle? What do I do? When do I sleep? When do I wake up? What do I do when I wake up? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How do I feed myself God's word? I've been working on that. How do I increase my intake of God's word? I've been working on it. And I'm not talking about how to increase it now because I'm inspired, but how to increase it and keep it increased. So how do I develop a habit around what I want? Are you hearing what I'm saying? A habit that works. A habit just means that you are consistent. Are you with me? You know, one of the things that is clear, even from medical studies, is that we need balance and consistency. Okay, we need balance and consistency. So when people say, what are the foods that are good to eat? What are the foods that are not? I say, look, eat everything, but eat it in moderation and the right balance. That's all. So even you say, it's weight loss. I want to lose weight. What am I? Then when you say, I'm not even going to eat. I won't eat for 7 days so that I'll lose weight. After that, you will eat the food that is equivalent to 14 days. And that happens over and over and over again to many people. They just go on that strong fast, as it were, to lose weight. And then they go rebounding the other direction. And then they are bigger than when they first started. So what you need is consistency, a good habit. A good habit around sleeping. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what took me to all of that is your diet, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. You know, when you look at the book of Daniel, I sometimes hesitate to use it because people think that the book of Daniel recommends being vegetarian. Okay? But if you look in the New Testament, is that Romans? Is it Romans? Or which is it Romans or 1 Corinthians? It talks about that he that is weak eats only vegetables. He that is weak in faith eats only vegetables. Okay? I'm not making a doctrine out of it because all of those scriptures I'm referring to have to be taken in context. Okay? But my point is this, is that while I can see in Daniel that the people said, we don't want all of these things that the king is saying you should be feeding us. They said, just give us these vegetables. Okay? And the Bible says they were better than the other people. All I'm referring to there is not the actual thing they ate, but what I'm referring to is the fact that they recognized the fact that what you eat will determine your physical well-being. Are you with me? What you eat is going to be important. In fact, somebody said, you are what you eat. Another person said that almost all diseases can be linked to diet. So we need to start taking it seriously. What am I eating? When do I eat it? What amount do I eat? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you are going to assault your body, that's why I read you 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I have a responsibility to take care of it. Why? Because I have an assignment for God. And if I damage that body, I will be unable to perform the assignments that God has sent me to perform. And so it goes for you also. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I like the discipline of the musicians who would say, we don't drink cold, Abby, and all of that, and you don't drink cold drinks, you don't take this kind of thing, and all of that. Why? Because they're trying to preserve that body so that it can function in the will of God perfectly. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, are you there? So what you eat is important. Don't take it for granted. Daniel and the three Hebrew children knew that. So they told them, they said, don't feed us all these things you are bringing. Give us this instead. And the Bible says after eating that for some time, they were better than the other people. Physical appearance even was much better than the other people. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, if my emphasis, it says, who does what? Satisfies your mouth with what? Good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies your mouth with what? Good things. Hallelujah. So when you eat good things, your youth is renewed. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 23:25. Exodus 23:25. I'm showing you the link. What you eat. So part of faith is knowing that this one should be eating less. This one is what I should eat more. This is the quantity I should eat. That's faith. Amen. Exodus 23:25. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless what? Your bread and your water, basically your food. And then what happens? I will take sickness away from the midst of you. How will he take sickness away? He blesses your food. So your food is important. Hallelujah. Lastly, tonight is medicine. Medicine. You know, again, too many times you meet people who think that if I use medicine, then I'm not walking by faith. Okay? Using medicine doesn't mean that you are not walking by faith. Neither does it mean that you are walking by faith when you don't take medicine. You understand what I'm saying? So, I met people who say, no, my God will do it. My God will do it. And the only reason why they say my God will do it is that they are afraid of surgery, which is what the doctor has told them, that this thing, we have to do surgery. Then they say, God forbid, God will do it. God will do it. You have not believed God for headache before. All of a sudden now, God will do it. Because what is really driving you is fear, not faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that they are not what we call mutually exclusive. The fact that you have one doesn't mean that you can't have the other. Okay, the fact that I'm taking medicine doesn't mean I don't have faith in God. However, I can agree with you that it's not God's best. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can agree with you that yes, God can do better and heal you without the medicine. However, the fact that you are taking the medicine doesn't mean that you don't believe God. As a matter of fact, Exodus 15:26, God says, I am the Lord who heals you. Not medicine, not vitamins, not anything. He said, I am the Lord who heals. So when you see healing, it's me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see healing, it is me at work. That's what God is saying. Healing is my work. It's nobody's work. That's why many times in medicine we say, we treat, but God cures. God heals. Because the fact that you took whatever drug doesn't mean the headache must go. Not everybody who took it had the headache disappear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not everybody who took the same treatment got healed of that condition. But yes, build your faith to where you really can stand and say, I don't need the drug. Great. Build your faith to that point. Fantastic. But don't be convinced or confused to think that the mere fact that I took one means that I don't believe God. As a matter of fact, when you are going to take the medicine, believe God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Believe God, because that medicine, in this environment, that medicine itself could be fake medicine, which could be injurious. That medicine may be underdosage, so it may not be doing anything. It could be chalk. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you take it, believe God. Take it and say, by stripes I was healed. Therefore, this sickness must go. Are you with me? Isaiah 38. Book of Isaiah. Okay, I don't think I can read everything. But while you're looking for it, if you remember also, Paul was writing Timothy. And he said, take a little, don't drink only water, but take a little wine. for your stomach's sake, what's that wine supposed to be? Because of your frequent infirmities, what's that supposed to be? Medicine. Why didn't just Paul say, be healed? Why should I take a little of that? You know, I like the Bible because all of the balance you need is inside it. If you read it well, without religious glasses. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will see it is in there. Paul himself didn't tell us he took anything for anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he was able to tell somebody, say, take this. One of my best stories when I was reading Pastor W.F. Kumuyi's book was somebody who testified. He said, you know, back in the days, he used to go and drive him. Whenever the man needed to go anywhere, minister or whatever, he would come and drive him, you know. He said, and the first time or so he drove Pastor Kumuyi, he said, when they got back, the man said, it looks like you don't see well. The man said, go and see the doctor. I will pay for it and I'll buy you glasses. You know, he said, but he thought to himself, this is the man, we see miracles all over the crusade ground. But the man looked, he said, you don't see well, the way you drove, you don't see well. He said, go and see them, I'll pay for everything, I'll buy you the glasses. Hallelujah. Thank God for balanced people. Are you with me? Oh, one of my favorite stories. What Kenneth Hagin, Pastor Kenneth Hagin now. No. It was Craig Hagin, that is his own son, who had a tumor. So they went to the hospital, he had a brain tumor. And they got the diagnosis, he has a brain tumor. And they called Kenneth Hagin, late Kenneth Hagin. Said, look, Dad, so Pastor Hagin called him and said, Dad, this is what just happened. We just got this diagnosis on my son, Craig. And the man said, well, we believe God. He said, but if nothing happens within 24 hours, he said, take him to the hospital. So they prayed. And they went to the hospital. And they were going to operate the brain tumor. It's a mass in the brain. And they began to operate on him. They operated for several hours. I think it was over 10 hours operation. And while they were there, the doctors and the health workers said the presence of God was so strong in that operating room, they had never felt it like that before. It was so strong that one of the assisting nurses who had a chronic back pain for years got healed. So you say, he went to operate on his own brain, and yet God was healing someone's back. He that does not use all of his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him that commits suicide. Are you still there? Where were we reading? Isaiah 38. Okay. So Isaiah, let me just quickly try to sum it up first. Isaiah was dying. Okay. And in fact, the prophet came and confirmed that he will die. He said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you will die. Somebody asked me years ago, said, you know, where is a will in the Bible? I said, Isaiah 38. God said to Hezekiah, set your house in order, or you will surely die. I said, that is will. God said, do your will. Put order. Are you with me? So the man thought, Otio. Then he turned. So Isaiah just turned, you know. Prophets can be funny. So the guy came, just said, thus saith the Lord, you will surely die. Put your house in order. And he turned and just went. And Isaiah turned to the wall and began to pray and said, God, it can't happen like this now. See how I've lived my life. I've served you. I've been this, I've been that. And then God says to Isaiah, when Isaiah got out, almost out of the compound, God said to him, go back. And tell him that I've added 15 more years to his life. You need to be confident in your walk with God. Okay, so can you imagine Isaiah, the renowned prophet, who has just said, surely you will die, set your house in order. Now he's coming back a few minutes later. And God said, you will live. And they say, what's wrong with this man? Is it die or live? You just said die 15 minutes ago. What is live again now? He said, just said the Lord, you will live, you will not die. You have 15 more years. Okay? But this is where I'm going. Verse 21. So he has come, he has declared the word of the Lord, you will be healed. You will live 15 more years. But look at what he said in verse 21. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as poultice on the boil, and it will recover. What is that? He said, take some herbs, apply it to the boil the man has. So apply some medicine, rub it on the thing, and he will be healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's part of the word of the Lord. So part of the word of the Lord was not just that he will have 15 more years, but it was that take the lump of figs and add it to the boil. So God was telling him, use medicine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You've heard about the guy who was drowning. And then some fishermen came in their fishing boat. And they said, go, grab our hand, we'll put you in. He said, no, I'm trusting God. God will save me. And then out came another, speedboat. They saw him there, they threw out a kidney. Hold on to this one. The guy said, no, the Lord will save me. Then naval ship and whatever passed by, and they said, ah, see a man there, they threw, you throw tire and all that. I said, yeah, grab it, and this, that man said, no, the Lord is coming to save me. And then he died. And then he said, Lord, you failed me. I trusted you. I had faith in you that you will save me. God said, yeah. And that's why I sent you 3 different people to save you. But you refused. So welcome home. Are you there? So I've said 4 things tonight. Okay? Starting from the fact that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You have a responsibility to take care of it and be in health. Just as 3 John 2 says, God says his desire is that you be in health. So we're talking about being determined to be in health. What are the things you do? Okay? And I said number 1 is what? Pay attention to spirituals. Number 2, exercise. Number 3, diet. Number 4, medicine. I put spirituals first because it is number 1. Are you hearing me? In this situation, spirituals is always number 1. Amen. In fact, spirituals that will help you. If you pay attention to spirituals, you know what to do. Okay? You know what to do per time. What steps am I supposed to take? So at a certain time, I began to stammer a lot. It was terrible. And if you've been to medical school, you start going through what we call differential diagnosis. Am I having a nervous breakdown? Is it a brain tumor? So different things start coming to you. What is happening? What is happening? Why is this just suddenly happening to me now? Why am I stammering all the time and everywhere and every time? What's going on? And I kept thinking about it. What's going on? What's happening? What's happening? But one day as I drove, I was driving from Ibadan to Lagos. I was driving and I was praying in tongues, as I often do. And as I was praying in tongues, I kept driving, and God said, it's your coffee. I said, huh? He said, yeah, it's a coffee. I've been drinking coffee for months. But I only started drinking for months. I didn't drink coffee for many years. But I started drinking coffee in 2005. And this was now about 2007. People talked about coffee doing something or the other to them. I always said, it did nothing to me. But by that time, I was drinking about 8 cups of coffee a day. I've been drinking it for a while. You understand what I'm saying? So I wasn't thinking about it. But as I was driving and I was praying in other tongues, God said, it's your coffee. I said, He said, yeah, you need to cut it down. So I made steps. I made my decision. I'm going to fix this. So I started cutting it down till about 2 cups, and the stammering went like that. Spirituals first. Are you there? Let's stand on our feet. So tonight, if you need a healing of any sort, I want you to just come out. So just make this quick and brief. You need hands laid upon you. One way, not the only way, but one way. by which God heals is by the laying on of hands. So if you're trusting God for a healing in any form, then just make your way to the front quickly. If you're online, I would say just put your hand on your chest right where you are, or touch where the ailment is. If you have an ailment on your leg, touch that spot. Whatever might be wrong, wherever, if you can touch it, touch it. If you're watching online, God is not limited at all. I was ministering years ago and I was giving words of knowledge. And one of the words I gave, I don't know whether anybody in that place actually fitted into that bill. But what interested me was that about a year later, somebody was listening to the message. And I called, that condition I called was her condition. And she was healed. So God is not limited in any form. So Father, we thank you. I don't see anyone here needing a healing. So I'm just going to pray by faith for those who are watching online or listening later. Father, thank you for your mighty hand. Thank you because it's a great way to start the year in health. Great way to start it. And I speak your healing. I speak a cure to everybody under the sound of my voice. I curse sickness and disease. I curse it because indeed Jesus bore it on the cross. And I speak health to replace it. In the name of Jesus. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And is giving life and vitality. Somebody's hearing. Someone's been becoming dull of hearing. I think it's your right ear. Your right ear. It's just been... It's not long since you noticed that you don't hear and it's significant enough for you to be worried. It pops open in the name of Jesus. Pops open in the name of Jesus. Legadosta. Mambresi telegadista prahasto. Brededededesta brahando sokotos. I believe somebody's eyesight got corrected. Years ago, I was ministering somewhere in Ibadan. And I was ministering to other people. One of the ushers at the back, our eyesight got corrected just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Legedosta, brakadosta, redusta, prakide vesto, bredide vekato. And I believe God is doing the same tonight. I believe God is doing the same tonight. God is doing the same tonight. Somebody's eyesight is being corrected. Legedosta, brande sifeke, ledusta, prahandos. Vega lagasta. Somebody hurt their big toe. Your big toe. I don't know what you did to hurt it. Hit a stone, whatever it is. But you hurt the big toe. That big toe is not well. But it is well now. By the power of God. By the power of God and in the name of Jesus. The pain goes. Completely healed. Completely healed. Completely healed. Legerosta brakile vedesto. Mambro sufelide stepacado sofredista brahande. Legegegesta brahando socorro basite veledista brahande. Lendo suta pali este fracosta brahande. Legelegedosta brahando socota. Lord, we give you praise. 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 We give you praise, oh God. Thank you. Thank you. Just pray in other tongues a little bit. I just want to be sure that we tackle everything God wants us to deal with. That's all. Legedosta hasto braga ledos sefe hesto brendesti kalida bahata ya sakara boste fredi dededeste bahando suka aste keke legedosta dededededosta bahanda legesto brahanda stool. Blood in the stool. Somebody's had blood in their stool. That stops now. Stops now. Stops now by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. Stops now. Legedosta, brakadosta. Just receive it. Receive it. Receive it. As I say, just receive it. Legedosta. Because the power of God goes with that word. Goes with that word of knowledge. And causes a cure. Legedosta. Blood in the stool. Blood in the stool, blood in the stool healed in the name of Jesus. Yeah, also similarly, a urinary tract infection. an infection in the urinary system, being healed by the power of God. It's been healed by the power of God. An infection in the urinary system, healed by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus, leged osta braka mondo sofredista bahane, leged osta brahene geleged osta brahane. Yeah, thank you, Lord. 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 Is there someone who struggles with lifting your hand quite high? You struggle with lifting your hand quite high. Is there anybody, if you do that, it's with a lot of struggle, you know, that you can't lift your hands easily high up, whether one or both hands. If you struggle with that, then that's over. Just lift the hands and it's over. It's over. Whatever restricts that joint is healed by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now we'll just take a few minutes. Years ago, the Lord said to me, give me a little time every time you minister. Just give me a little time and let me deal with the things I need to deal with. So we'll just take a minute and just be quiet in His presence. You begin to speak to people. You begin to touch people. He begins to shine lights on certain things for you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way in our midst. Thank you. Touch. Heal. Deliver, guide, instruct. Do that which only you can do. Yeah, some years ago I was ministering that way. Somebody had actually prayed for before then, but found it hard to receive. Just at that point, he saw a vision of Jesus on the cross. God's power hit him, and every sickness in his body left. God goes right through you, goes right through her. Complications of surgery healed in the name of Jesus. Healed completely. Legged Oster, healed completely. Healed completely. Healed completely there in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Mapro sofre legista, mambro sofre dista, pocosta veledi. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Begin to give Him praise tonight. Thank Him. Appreciate Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Kuti, this year the fire of God will chase you. Kuti. Kuti, this year the fire of God will burn and burn and burn strong, strong within you, unquenchable, unquenchable, unquenchable. Ah, yeah, no, 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 no. How do they say that thing? A conflagration of, a conflagration of something is consuming my domicile. A conflagration is consuming your domicile. Put your hand on your belly. Yeah, it's the fire of God. The fire of God. There's a way it burns. There's a way it burns. That it controls and drives everything in your life. It permeates everything. That fire burns in the name of Jesus. There's a way it will burn. Never the same. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. You know, the Bible says that every time we see the glory, we are transformed into the same image. Meaning something happens. Every time we experience the glory of God, something happens. We keep changing. We keep changing into the same image. Whether we realize it or not, something happens. So that we've been in this meeting at all, something has happened. We've changed. Oh, why do people fall down like that? They are changing into the same image. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you indeed. We give you praise. We give you glory. For testimonies here and now and testimonies to come. In the name of Jesus. Thank you because it will be an awesome year for us. We will be in health. We will enjoy good health. We'll overcome every challenge to our health. And then be in health. In the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name.